wasn't done right.
Yeah, yeah. Get your ass up and hurry up. Ice Cube, baby. 99, baby. I'm on the grind, baby. All the time, baby. Show me something.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your ass into it.
Put your back into it.
Put your ass into it. Tick, tick, boom, hit me banging down these back streets. Bumping black street, treated like an athlete. Life ain't a track meet.
No.
It's a marathon cemetery that a nigga gets buried on. We be coming to the day we die.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask the bartender if you think we lie. But if you think we hot, you can think again. Cause when it's sink or swim, you got to think to win. And if I drink this in, everybody will know.
WKTY La Crosse, 96.7 FM, 580 AM, Ice Cube, Mac Penn. This is the West Side Connection. What a group this was. All right, Hip Hop Hump Day rolls on, and Coach Schmidt, been a really fun time with you here so far this morning. A lot of our listeners showing a lot of support here for the Eagles. Char says that she had a couple of your guys work for her last summer. Did an incredible job. Best of luck to you this Saturday. Of course, WKTY, if you're ever curious about how we cover the Eagles, we have every single game, every single week. You can listen to it on the website. You can listen to it on the app. You can listen to it on the radio. 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock is going to be the kickoff. And I think, listen, I think you guys have a better than average shot to beat Whitewater. I really do.
Yeah, I feel like we got a good team, and we feel like we should be beating everybody. And I think that was, everybody was so down after Platteville. I'm like, okay, if you're really that down, it means you really don't think that we can beat Whitewater and Oshkosh. Because we were planning on winning the rest of them anyway. So here we are. We've been in playoff mode, you know, and no matter how we got to this point, we're essentially playing Whitewater We're playing Whitewater for first place in WIC in week 8.
I just wanted to ask about that, too. Are we rooting for or against Platteville now? Because you guys lost to them, so the better that they win, or is it better, do you want them to lose?
I mean, I guess I want them all to lose. I just dislike all of them, but it's probably better if they lose.
Okay, all right. I didn't know.
I think I like what Coach yeah. Schmidt has to say here. I'm kind of like, you know, the guy from There Will Be Blood, which is actually an Upton Sinclair movie. You know, I want success for nobody.
Right.
I root for nobody's success.
I am not a fan of anybody.
Thank you. And I'm fine with that, by the way. All right. Now, speaking of success, there was something that came out of the NCAA's Board of Governors meeting yesterday, which to me is a complete and resounding success. Now, we talked about the idea that the NCAA would vote Coach Schmidt and Matt Scrady here on allowing players to really make money off of their own rights and likenesses, signing autographs, jersey sales, etc. We weren't sure how the NCAA Board of Governors was going to treat this thing. Well, it came down to a unanimous vote. Every single person inside of that room said, and this is the quote, "The NCAA must embrace change to provide the best possible experience for college athletes." Let's jump right in. You're a college or a former college athlete. You coach college athletes here. Do you see anything intrinsically wrong with, let's say, Evan Lewandowski getting a sponsorship with Festival Foods and going to sign autographs at Festival, downtown La Crosse, or anywhere?
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all of this. I think I'm all about it, and you can see the NCAA always they have their finger on what's going on in the public opinion so big time. I'm just telling you, be careful what you wish for with all of this. I think what they're saying is, if we didn't allow this, that we would be having, it might be the end of the NCAA in terms of all of this.
The federal government would have called them a profession.
Now that the federal government's involved with all of this. But, I mean, I think we've got an issue here that's going to become much bigger. And it's like with the NFL, like, oh, we want to regulate all this stuff. Okay, how much do you like the product now? Because you have all of these things that we're doing for pass interference and trying to make it better. As a principal, I'm all about it. I think if you're adding outside things into this thing, and the reality is the top players are already getting paid. If you think that they aren't, you are naive and
talk
you don't understand.
No, I believe you,
you're wrong.
Think I don't believe
if you,
that.
If you
I
don't think
it.
The top players in the best players, football, basketball, whatever, are getting paid to go to their schools, you're wrong. They're all getting paid. So now, you know, I think the issue is going to be, how do you treat the backup left guard at Alabama?
Yeah.
What does he get paid? How does he do this? And what happens when he doesn't want to have this? And I think now you have a major issue on, what's going to happen with taxes? I think that's a huge issue because now everybody, once you let somebody in to get some of this money that's out there in college football and basketball specifically, but athletics in general, once you let somebody in on it, now everybody's going to want to get in on it. And so how do you keep everybody out? How do you regulate who's in and who's not in on this? They're all in right now. The top guy, do you think Zion Williamson is poor? Come on now. He's getting paid.
I never believed that
never,
for a second.
Never. The top players, the top 300, if you have a top 300 ESPN player on your roster in basketball, football, he's getting paid. Get a clue. Somebody's paying that guy. There's the difference is, why do you think Nick Saban's wanted agents out of all this stuff? He's been crazy. Go look at what he said about agents. He doesn't want agents in because then there's somebody else inside now, and they can screw this all up. Now they're letting people inside, and it's all going to be screwed up. It's going to be a total disaster, in my opinion, as we figure this out. And you just hope that I'm just hopeful that college football doesn't get hit like college basketball just did by outsiders coming in and screwing this whole thing up.
See, that's what I love about it, though, is because obviously being a Notre Dame homer, there's all kinds of money from the outsiders there. They're going to rise right to the top with all of this. Notre Dame is going to be a powerhouse.
Without a doubt.
Forever.
It's whoever has the most money now is going to win. Because if you look at any of these things, Evan Lewandowski is going to go do a spot at Festival or Dahl Automotive or whatever, right? And they're going to pay him $50,000 to do that spot.
Right.
Like, the best players are – you think a coach isn't going to be like, hey, dude, I need you to give this guy – $650,000 to do a couple hits on your whatever. That it's all about who's going to have the most money.
Okay, so listen, and I think that you are right, and I think that Scrady, you know, you're also right. Here's where because you're talking about Notre Dame rising back to the top. I mean, they're pretty close to the top right now. Here's where I disagree with you guys just a little bit. So you mentioned backup guard for Alabama. Why does Alabama get all these guys now? Why does Alabama have basically too many players than they can ever play that could all be top scholarship athletes at other schools? Because they have an unfair recruiting advantage. Alabama has stuff that other schools don't.
No
Central
doubt.
Michigan cannot compete. This is the change for me, though. You're a big-time player. You could be a backup guard at Alabama, get $0, or you could stay at Central Michigan, where like you're from, and make $1 million. So now you think that Alabama and Notre Dame are just going to be the best. I think this creates a parity unlike any other. If you're from Boise,
I'd agree with you,
and you're getting a recruiting offer from every college and you're going to be a big hooper, now you can look at that. If the Boise Bank Trust says to you, hey, we got $20 million, play here, I'm staying.
No doubt.
Thanks. And so all these teams would have been collecting talent in an unfair, advantageous way to them. This could be the trust buster.
It could be for basketball. And it has been for basketball. Like, if you look, that's why there is so much parity in basketball right now, right? There's parity everywhere in basketball.
Yeah. Thank you,
and
Adidas.
And so they're all over the place, and Adidas is the biggest one of that, right?
Yes.
But now, in football, there's too many people that have to play.
It's still
going to be a battle of attrition. You might get a top recruit or a couple top recruits. Okay, look at Mississippi. I'm just saying a couple years ago when Hugh Freeze was there and they got the top recruiting class, how much money do you think those few guys had? And it changed their program from being a 4-7 team to a 8-3 or 9-3 team that they were, you know. So it'll have that flux on it. It's still going to be a battle of attrition at the very top who has the most to get the most great players.
Sure.
Yeah, because that's how it is. I mean, and that example is a good one. I mean, if you're backup, you know, left guard at Alabama, you would stay back at Central Michigan or whatever for the $1 million, but you're still, you know, a backup left guard. I mean, talent-wise,
if you're a backup left guard at Alabama,
you're starting, but your talent level is still that of backup left guard at Alabama or Notre Dame or any of these other things. That's still your talent level, but you're making some money,
great.
So which is good, but it's still going to be, I mean, the schools with the most amount of money. I mean, the best quarterback's going to go where the best quarterback can make the most money, whatever school that is.
And this is why I do believe that, okay, so the states that have the biggest football teams right now are some of the poorest states in the country.
Yep.
Alabama is dirt poor. Louisiana, dirt poor. Mississippi, Florida. So you're going to tell me that Lehigh in New York City, with the trillionaires that live there, ain't going to be able to get somebody? The thing is that because these schools have big money, like South Bend, Indiana, You look around there, and I don't know where the money is. It's somewhere, but the players that are on the Irish, if you're a big-time guy, if you're Ian Book, you're going to get some cash. But I think that what this is going to do is give big cities that have woeful programs an opportunity to say, oh, yeah, don't go to Alabama.
Yeah.
We're going to paper you up.
Right.
Alabama, it's not like the state of Alabama can pony up more. They're already paying Nick Saban $8 million. And this is really about sponsorship. One thing that we have to say, because we're about out of time, is NCAA football, which was one of our favorite football games.
It's back. It's back.
We can get it back now.
Let's go.
I'm so happy about that.
That's the best part. It's the best part of this whole thing is that it's back.
That's the only thing I care about. I'm going to buy a PlayStation 4. I'm getting one. I have to have that game.
That's great. All right, guys, let's do this. Let's step aside real quick. When we come back, Doc Bach and former Eagle says, wrap up shop. We got some potpourri, and we'll get to it. Stay tuned.